विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवीं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणे श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ध्यायतो विषय पुंसान् संगस्तेषूपजायते संगाल संजायते कामान् कामाल क्रोधो विजायते क्रोधाल भवति सम्मोह सम्मोहाल स्मृति विभ्रमा स्मृति भ्रंशाल बुद्धिनाशो बुद्धिनाशाल प्रणश्यति. दिस वर द टू वर्सेस वी वर लुकिंग लास्ट टाइम एंड दे वर द I mentioned that at that time that there are the two important verses in that chapter. If you remember the verse numbers, I don't know, they are 62, 63, isn't it? Dhyayato vishaya pamsan sangasteshu vajayate. Remember? The way we fall down, that's what Krishna is discussing now. How we fall down, how this fall down happens. Dhyayato vishaya, if we keep these two verses in our mind, all the time we reflect on these two verses. Krishna is saying how this fall down happens to us. It doesn't happen in one stretch straight away like that. It doesn't happen. It happens in step by step. The fall down is always by step. But we think that I fell down yesterday due to something else, some particular reason. No, the fall down has been happening on a continuous basis. Doesn't happen. Accidentally, on a suddenly, it doesn't happen. It happens on a gradual level. That's the point Krishna is making there. Dhyayato vishaya pumsan sangasteshu bajayade sangal sanjayade kaman kamal krodho bajayade krodhal bhavati samoha samohal smriti vibhrama smriti vibhramshal buddhinasho buddhinashal pranashyadi. That's the sequence in which it happens. Remember the words before that we were talked about tandam tadandam tadadandadandam. That's where it is coming from. That step by step, that like the pot fell from the topmost stairs, it fell through all the stairs and came down. In the same way, we also fall down. So there, we were discussing about buddhi, first thing. Buddhi is the intelligence. But what is that intelligence? That intelligence which stands in realizing the truth as a block in front of us. Krishna says there that the... that intelligence is the main problem. Krishna mentions that in a particular way. He says there that if you want to realize the truth, if you start applying your logic and reasoning, and which is coming from the intelligence, it's a disturbance. If you start thinking that, that makes no sense to me, we often say like that, isn't it? Doesn't make sense. We say like that, isn't it? So Krishna is saying, that is coming from your mind and intelligence, which is based on logic and reasoning, what we consider as logic and reasoning. Krishna says, don't apply that in this particular case, because if you do that, it will come as a block for you in realizing the self, and realizing the truth. It will come as a disturbance. So that logic and reasoning, intelligence, has to give us way. It should not come on our way. It should keep away from our path. And when this logic and reasoning is a part of sthula buddhi, gross intelligence it is. It's a part of the sthula nature, the gross nature. It's not the subtle nature. So the sthula buddhi has to give us clearance to go through this process. If sthula buddhi comes in, immediately we will stop spiritual activity. You can notice that. Whenever we start putting our reasoning of logic and reasoning into spiritual life, it will fail straight away. It won't work. That we have to recognize first. Because what happens is that the knowledge of the self and transcendental understanding, spiritual realization, is beyond logic and reasoning. It's not based on logic and reasoning. If you start bringing logic reasoning into it, it will not work. It simply won't work. Because It is beyond mind, beyond intelligence, where it is Krishna's mercy that keeps us in spiritual life. Krishna, when he sees that we have decided, and giving up this intelligence is also a degree of surrender. It's also a indication of the surrender of a person. When one does not want to surrender, he continuously keep using the intelligence and saying that doesn't make sense and doesn't make any doesn't want to accept it, because ego from inside, ego works through intelligence. Sometimes ego works through the mind, sometimes ego works through the intelligence. So either way, it can become a problem in spiritual life. That is the point Krishna is making here. These two verses requires a lot of reflection, because if you look at these verses, the way Krishna has put it to us, we'll go through that a little bit in detail, you will know that there is something in life which is beyond our understanding. In all situations you can see things happen, in spite of your best organizing, management and control, till things go wrong in this world, isn't it? Everyone gets baffled here when we make decisions. So that intelligence, first we discussed that, buddhinasham. That is all called buddhinasham. That means when the sthula buddhi, which is this intelligence based on logic and reasoning, if it comes on your path of your spiritual life, it has to give us clearance. Otherwise, we can't go further. If it comes in front of us, that is buddhinasham. That is called buddhinasham. Buddhinashal pranashyati, Krishna is saying there. With buddhi, you will lose the control, and then it won't make sense at all at that point. Prior to that, we have seen that smriti bhramsham. Smriti Bhramsham, Buddhinashal, Buddhinashal, Pranashari. What is Smriti Bhramsham? Smriti Bhramsham means, Krishna explained that also, it's not that we have something happens. What has happened to us already is Smriti Bhramsham. Smriti Bhramsham means that our proper identity, we have lost it. That we are spirit soul. We are not this body, not this mind, not this intelligence. And there had some realization in us that we are the soul. When you completely lose it, that I have no idea about my spiritual identity, nor do I understand that I am spirit soul, and constantly thinking like this, my identification with the body has become so complete that I can't think anything beyond the body. That is Smriti Bhramsham. Smriti Bhramsham is that thing, that falling to this false position. This is a false state, Krishna is saying, that identification with the body is a false state of existence. And therefore Krishna says that is Smriti Bhramsham. So Smriti Bhramsham, Buddhinasham, from that happens, and then we fall. That's what Krishna says. So prior to that, Krishna said Sammoham, isn't it? Sammohal Smriti Vibhramam. We discussed about Smriti. Smriti means that Smriti, how do we remember the soul's presence inside? That's the point Krishna is bringing out. The understanding that the soul is inside us all the time, controlling everything, directing us. The soul has this one peculiar quality, that it is the most treasured thing inside. It's a great treasure that the soul is inside. And it is from the soul that everything is working. Whole day we are operating. When we go into Jagrat Sopnam Sushupti states, he is still present there, supervising everything. And it is under his direction and control, everything is working in this body. We are operating, we are interacting in the world. Everything is happening only because of his presence. So when we come to think that there is no presence of the soul, there is no presence of the soul, that is called sammoham. Sammoham. Forgetfulness of the soul and acting completely in identification with the body is smriti vibhramam. There is a slight difference between sammoham and smriti vibhramam. Sammoham has happened due to illusion, delusion of the fault that we have accepted what is not the truth as the truth. Just like when you saw the snake and the rope example is given in the Bhagavadam, that the rope is there, lying there. We have seen it as a snake, but snake didn't exist. Only the rope existed all the time, Only the rope existed. But we took it as a snake and went along with it, isn't it? So that misunderstanding is called delusion. Instead of thinking about the rope as the snake, is called delusion. Similarly, the sammoham is this delusion in us that instead of the soul, we are thinking as the body. That is called this sammoham. That is a kind of delusion Krishna is talking about. Sammohal smriti vibhramam. Smriti vibhramam is identification with the body and complete forgetfulness of the soul is smriti vibhram. So there are two things there. One is losing the thinking of the self as the body. That is smriti vibhramam. Sammoham. And completely identifying with the body and living like that is smriti bhramsham. So, sammoham, smriti vibhramam. Smriti bhramshal, buddhi nasham. So, from sammoham, these are all very, the differences are very little. We won't, unless we keep on looking at it again and again, we will not see the differences between one to another. What is sammoham? What is smriti vibhramam? What is buddhi nasham? Those three things you have to, this is the steps Krishna is talking about, how we fall. So you can see where the problem has started. Problem has started when we lost our spiritual connection, spiritual relationship with the soul. That is the main problem, main cause of all our miseries of this world, that we have lost our spiritual identity. Devotees, very realized souls, they describe these things in different ways. We are just wandering in this world helplessly, not knowing what our purpose is here, why we are here, where are we going, no idea. Just living day by day, maintaining the body and carrying on, thinking that this is our existence. So this is all coming from that. So, smriti bhramshal buddhi nasham, buddhi nashal pranashyati. Krishna says there that moham is that to think something what is not truth as truth. Body is not a truthful thing. Body is, if you look into Bhagavadam, Krishna is saying there, Sudeva Goswami put it to Parikshit. How did he put it to him? Tvam na jataha, you are not even born, he says. And if you tell this to somebody, you are not born, your body doesn't exist, nobody will accept it. Isn't it? That is the very nature of this philosophy, Krishna consciousness. That when you tell somebody, Tvam na jataha, you are not born, and Sudeva Goswami is saying that to Parikshit, you are not even born, where is the question of death, he is asking. That is a very higher state of realization. But it comes to the same point here also, when Krishna is saying here that the main business we have, mistake we have done is, what is not true, we have accepted it as truth. That is the biggest problem we have. That if you accept something which is false as truth, in the Bhagavad Gita, in the beginning, Krishna mentioned this, that nasade vidyade bhavo, it comes back again, na bhavo vidyade sada, ubhayorabhi drishtvandam, stanayor tattva darshyabhi, Krishna says. So if you accept the falsity as the truth, it will give you distress at the end. It has to. And that is why every one of us leave this world in distress. Everybody leave this world in distress at the end. Why? Because Krishna is saying the reason for that, you have accepted something which is false as truth. That is this body, in reference to this body. And the price we have to pay for that is in the form of distress at the time of death. Otherwise, where is the question of distress? Everybody leaves this world in distress. Nobody leaves this world in happiness. Why? Because at the time of death, we are feeling attachment to the body, what we have looked after whole life, and identification with the body, all that comes back and strongly creates a distress inside. But whatever it is, the reason Krishna is saying there, that falsity you have, if you identify with the false things, you will suffer. This is the main principle. If you identify with the false thing, you will suffer. If you identify with the truth, you will never suffer. So that principle Krishna is saying that if you identify with the truth will protect you. It is there. You may have heard the statement, dharma rakshati rakshita. That where does that come from? It comes from this. That the fundamental principle in Upanishads and all is like this. That if you hold on to truth, and if you hold on to the reality, not to the falsity, that actual thing, what Krishna is saying as the soul, then that will protect you in all circumstances. You will never have to feel regret or depressed about it later. So so the example given was as the rope and the snake. So Krishna mentions there that the body we have accepted as the as the identification problem with the body is like this. That we once your identification starts, what happens? Then you want to do everything for the body, isn't it? To maintain this body, you will go to any extent. Not only eating, sleeping, all other things also, in order to keep this body, to protect the body. Krishna is saying that this misunderstanding must go from inside first. Misunderstanding, I am this body. It should go from inside first. And then your actions will change. Otherwise, the attachment to the body will always be very, very subtle level operating inside. As soon as a little disturbance comes, we get disturbed and then we look for a solution to the problem and it goes on. But body belongs to material nature. We'll keep repeating this again and again. Body is not ours. I'm not this body. Body is not mine. Body is not under my control either. It belongs to material nature. How material nature wants to deal with our body, we don't know. What will happen, we don't know. How body will be dealt with by the material nature. So at that point, you should not feel regret, because this identification with the body, when we start thinking the body, I am this body, body is mine, and this body I have to look after and protect. This is very strongly in a very subtle level in our thoughts, isn't it? It's so deep-rooted that whenever there's a disturbance, we get immediately affected by that. All this philosophy will just go through the window. Nothing will be taken seriously. So Krishna's point is that in order to make the progress in spiritual path, the first thing is you come to terms with this. I'm not this body. Body belongs to material nature. Me, my true identity is I belong to Krishna. I belong to Krishna. When I'm talking about I belong to Krishna, it means that Krishna is the soul. The soul is Krishna. And we are part of Krishna. We are not separate from Krishna. Krishna is to be understood as the Sarvabhuta Antaryami, who is present in everyone, every living entity. And that is our proper identity. Our connection with that is stronger than connection with the body. That connection is much stronger than the connection with the body. So Krishna says there that if you have established this basis in your education, and on top of that you are building everything, the foundation itself is false. Isn't it? Adhishthanam, it is called Adhishthanam. If the foundation is false, all that you build about that is also false. Because foundation will shake one day, the whole thing will drop. So that is why strongly we criticize the modern education, because this goes, once it gets in, then it's very difficult to pull it out from there, to change the whole way of thinking. After 40, 50 years, to bring it back again is quite a difficult job, because already stuck on that false foundation. Our education and our lifestyle, everything has gone in that way. That's the point, what important point there. So I mentioned also that this will only go through Salsangam. Salsangam is the only way where you can hear and hear and hear repeatedly. And constantly by hearing, it will get in one day. And it will start slowly operating from inside. And when that happens, this attachment to the body will go. And attachment to the... And you will see a difference in within your own way of functioning in this world. Salsangatve Nisangatvam. Nisangatvam comes from Salsangam. That is the step by step. The reverse engineering, as they call it, is this. Salsangatva Nisangatvam. From Satsangam comes Nisangatvam. Nisangatvam means freedom from attachment. That is Nisangatvam. No more attachment to this body and to the world in the gross level, what we have today. So, Salsangatva Nisangatvam. Nisangatva Nirmohatvam. When Nisangatvam happens, that means freedom from attachment happens. Krishna is saying Nirmohatvam happens. What is Nirmohatvam? Nirmohatvam means freedom from this illusion that I am this body. That is the moham in us, isn't it? That mistake understanding instead of the rope as the snake. Similarly, Nirmohatvam is that mistaken identity we will get back, what we have lost. That lost identity of the soul will come back to us and we lose the identification with the body. That is what is called Nirmohatvam. Nirmohatve Nishchala Tattvam. Nirmohatvam, once that stage comes, then you will get fixed up on the platform of the soul. That is called Nishchala Tattvam. Nishchala Tattve Jivan Mukti. Once you have established properly there on Nishchala Tattvam of the soul, then you are liberated. In the Jivan Mukta state comes to you. Salsangatve, Nisangatvam, Nisangatve, Nirmohatvam, Nirmohatve, Nishchaladatvam, Nishchaladatve, Jivan Mukti. This is that the reverse process, how it happens. So, through Salsangam, Krishna is saying that one should develop this strongly, constantly hearing, thinking, discussing, and invariably, it took a long time to get established on the body. How we got into the body so much? Because we went through so many bodies before. And in all those bodies, we have only identified with the body. This is the difficult thing. That identification as the body has been very, very strong, particularly in the lower species. It's only in the human body that you have got this choice to think this way or that way. The animal's body, that choice doesn't exist. Practically speaking, there's no choice there. Animals' instincts are just to eat, sleep, mate, and defend. And that's all it exists there. There's no other possibility there. So you get stuck in that body. It becomes very, very difficult. But once you come to human body, there is a choice there to make. You can either go with the body or you can go with the soul. But the conditioning inside is so strong that we have identification with the body very much. So Krishna is saying to us that if we have taken this option of self-realization now, it is possible in the human body. In other bodies, it's not even possible. But in human body, it is possible. And the process Krishna suggests to us in Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam is this Salsangam. Salsangam, through Salsangam, it could happen, Krishna says. It can happen through Salsangam. If you get the right Salsangam, the right people. Then So why did that? If you look at that verse, Dhyayado Vishayapumsan Sangasteshupa Jayade Sangal Sanjayade Kamam Kamal Krotobi Jayade. We are looking at the second verse first. Krodhal Bhavadi Sammohal. Sammohal Smriti Vibrama. Smriti Bramshal Buddhinasham Buddhinashal Pranashari. Out of that, Krodham is mentioned there, isn't it? So how did this Moham, Moham means this illusion, how did that happen? That's what the question we have to ask. We saw how Buddhinasham happens. We saw how Smriti Vibhramam happens. We also saw how Sammoham happens. Now, how does Sammoham happens? Krishna says Krodham. That's very interesting, isn't it? How Krodham turns into Sammoham? Anger, Krodham is anger. How does anger turns into delusion? This is the important bit here. The Krodhal Bhavadi Samoha, Krishna says, that's a very subtle thing what Krishna is talking about. Krishna says there that why do you get angry? Why is the reason behind it? According to Krishna's point, from anger, delusion comes. This delusion, Samoham, comes. So why do we get angry? We get angry for various reasons in this world, isn't it? For various reasons with various people, with various objects and we don't know what we are getting angry for, but we do get angry. Krodham Bhavati Samoham. So that Krodham, Krishna says, he causes in this delusion in a person. So and the anger, Krishna is saying, that in our, if you look inwards, Krishna says, you will see two important things. In a very subtle level, we don't like distress. We don't like distress. And we only like happiness. Two things. We want happiness, we don't want distress. This is in us, already clearly embedded in us. We don't want distress. See, we want happiness, we don't want distress. So if anything happens upsetting this balance, then immediately anger will come. That is the point Krishna is making. If you keep thinking about this, you can see, in our day-to-day transactions also, if something happens the way I like it, I'm happy. If something happens I don't like it the way, I don't like it the way it has happened, then I'm unhappy. Immediately, anger comes. So, krodham is coming from this. This is the basis on which Krodham builds up in a person. Krodhal bhavati samoham. Krodham, according to Krishna's point, is that dukham and sukham, the two things. As long as you are in the grip of these two, the krodham will come. Krodham will come. Sukham, dukham is there. So dukham is the factor, Krishna is saying, is there, that we have anger towards distress. Listen, when distress comes, we get angry. So in other words, it is the distress that brings the anger in us. Everyone is frightened when distress is coming, isn't it? We all feel frightened about it. So we keep on from the beginning, we keep on safeguarding in such a way our life that dukkham won't come. This is our plan. Whole life plan is from the way we operate in this world. The only thing that matters is that dukkham should not come. So I have to work, I have to earn, I have to maintain family life, I have to do so many things so that dukkham won't come to me. I can somehow. And it is from that principle that we have to know that that safeguarding nature in us is very strong. Not the distress, not to, because there is fear of distress. There's a fear inside us about distress, isn't it? And it is from that fear that when the distress comes, immediately turns into anger. It turns into anger. And this is one side of it. The other side of it is that we have attachment for happiness. Isn't it? We have attachment for happiness. Asakti. It is called asakti. So attachment for happiness. And so in other words, always happiness must come. Distress should not come. This is very a decision already we have made within ourselves. Unknowingly. And nobody need to tell us this. As soon as you are born and you start growing up, from the boyhood itself, this starts in us closely. I want to become happy, I don't want to become unhappy. I want to be happy, I don't want to be in distress. So that thought we have nourished or we have cultured in, during the early days in life, it gets bigger and bigger, and as we grow up, it becomes our identity in that way. It has become very firm. That's why everything we do in this world, Krishna is saying, is based on this one principle. I want to be happy, I don't want to be distressed. So, sukha dukkham. This sukham and dukkham, Krishna gives an importance to this. That so, this is attachment to sukham. Attachment to sukham. When that, how did that happen? Attachment to, how did that happen? Because at some point, we start thinking that certain things in this world gives me happiness. Certain things give me, and they are good. And the same thing, if you look into Bhagavatam, you will see the same thing. Shri Krishna tulpadobasanam abhayadhamam baddha mithyartha drishte. The way we look at things in this world, Krishna is telling us to look at it. Artha drishte, mithyartha drishte, it is called in the Bhagavatam. Mithyartha drishte. Mithyartha drishte means to look at something false and find certain happy that they are real things. Yeah? To look at something which is false and to take it that they are real. This is called mithyartha drishti. For example, whenever we see something nice in the shop, in the showcase, in the shops, or in Harrods or wherever, we go, that's a nice thing. As soon as that thought comes in, you can take it that you have fallen. Finished with that. There itself you have fallen, finished. The process have already started inside. That as soon as you start thinking, oh, that's a nice thing. This is something. Krishna is saying nothing is nice in this world. Nothing is nice. It is a difficult concept for most of the people to accept that. Eh? If you tell people all these things, because they are so much on a subtle level, it's spoken. When we take it with our gross intelligence, when we start looking at it, all that becomes very difficult, hard to digest. For most of the people, it's very hard to digest. But if you look at all the great devotees and all the great acharyas and the great personalities, how they operated in this world, you will see that they will not show any attachment to anything like that. Anything like that. Once it so happened that to a sage, a person brought one walking stick for him. This walking stick was made of sandalwood. You know how you can imagine expensive it is, isn't it? Sandalwood. It smells nice. And he specifically made it for the sage, whom he had a lot of respect for. Not knowing the sage thinking nature, he brought this walking stick and presented it to him. When he presented it to him, because the sage is very clear about it, he took it, smelled it, and gave it back to him and said, "Very nice, it smells nice," he said. Because sandalwood, isn't it? The pulp sandalwood smell is very good. So he felt that, so sage is not taking it, he's giving back to me, he said. So he says to him, "Oh, I have got it made for you specifically." The person who brought it, he says, "I brought it for you specifically for you." So the sage told him, "That's nice, very kind of you, but I don't want it." He says, "You please keep it." He gave it back to him. And he wanted to know why, the person who brought it, because he has spent money and energy to make it and bring it to him. So the sage told him, if I keep that with me, it's an object which I will only create desires in others' heart when they come here to see me. So they will see this and they'll start thinking, "Oh, that's a nice thing. Why not I have one of that?" If I have created this thought in somebody's mind, then I am the person to be blamed for that. That was his logic. I am to be blamed for that. I should not, under any circumstances, become an object of envy, an object of disturbing somebody else's mind. To such an extent, he was conscious of that, not to do it. So, you can see there that the attachment to objects is very strong in everyone. And we think everybody else has the same attachment. This is also another mistake we do. We think we have attachment, and similarly, I am giving this to somebody, or he should become happy. According to my calculation, I am giving something to someone, he should become happy. But if that person is not accepting it, and because he feels that it is more danger by accepting that, this is called mithyartha drishti. Mithyartha drishti means something that is false. From the sage's point of view, nothing is good in this world. Why? Because none of this matter can go with you anyway. It will only bring me distress tomorrow. I got something valuable, tomorrow I have to leave it, it is a cause of distress for me. Therefore, in a very subtle level, they have understood this, that they should not fall into this attachment under any circumstances. These are important points in a spiritual life, because if these things are taken seriously, then the causes of distress will also be less in this world. Cause of distress will also be less. Shri Krishna Tulpadobhasanam Abhayatamam Baddhamityartha Drishter Martyasya Artasya Manye Vavasaradibhayam Yena Sarvatmane Yuvam. That a devotee who has come to Krishna, he realizes that only Krishna is the shelter, nothing else in this world worthwhile holding on to. If I take shelter of anything else, I will be subjected to this sukham dukkham business. It will come. Whereas, if you take Krishna's shelter, this sukham dukkham won't happen. Because that is truth. Krishna is truth. Taking shelter of anything false will bring distress at the end. That's the point that is spoken about here. See, so many examples we can give for this. And if we look at our own life, how we have acted in different times, you can see the same mistake we have also committed. The same approach in life has caused us a lot of problems. That we got attracted by different things, and then we started meditating on that, and then develops into attachment, and then the attachment causes the desire to have it. That's how it happened. First we start thinking something is very good, and then we start thinking it is nice to have it. Isn't it? So it progresses from, first we think something is real, what is not real. Then we start thinking it is a good object to have it. It is a good thing. And then we think it's nice to have it. So it is in that three steps it happens. Something which is false, we accept it as real. Secondly, we start thinking it is a good thing. And thirdly, we think we nice to have it. So the three. That is Bhattamithyatta Drishter Martyasya Artasya Manyel Vavasaradi Bhayam Yena Sarvatmaneva. So, like examples, when we were walking, we didn't have any tension. But when we start, then we saw others all having car, and they're all buying cars and driving around, and then we thought, why not have a car? And then attachment started there itself, and then we wants to have the best car, and then we were not happy. having a car has become an integral part of us. Previously, before the car came onto the roads and when we started using cars like this, everybody walked everywhere. Or maximum they used a horse carriage or a bullock cart or something. But prior to, after that, we have become attached to this thing called car, and then it has become a part of us. So Krishna says there that how did this happen? That due to when few people started buying cars, we also became attached to it. And this is Krishna is called as moham. Moham for the attachment to something. And then we started thinking about it, isn't it? So the thoughts behind it, Krishna is called as dhyanam. The word used is dhyanam. Dhyanam means this. Dhyanam is not simply I sit here. Sometimes we say dhyanam is I sit in meditation process and I start meditating. No. Dhyanam is always going on inside us. Inside us, this dhyanam is always going on in different objects, about different objects, isn't it? So, dhyayato vishayan pumsaha. Krishna says, this dhyanam about sense objects, vishayam, pumsaha, it is working all the time. Dhyayato vishayan pumsa, sangasteshuva jayate. When the dhyanam has started, once the dhyanam has started on any particular object, what will happen is, Krishna says, sangam will happen. Sangam means attachment will happen to that object. So, Krishna's point is this, that if you don't want to get attached to anything, don't make any dhyanam over it. If you can avoid dhyanam or meditation on anything, you won't get attached to it. And it's a very subtle principle in the sense that it is from dhyanam sangam has come, and from sangam sangal sanjayade kamam, desire has come, kamam krodham has come, and krodham moham has come. So like this, dhyayado vishaya pamsan sangasteshuba jayate, sangal sanjayade kamam, kamal krodhobi jayate. So dhyanam sangam kamam krodham, that's the four steps first. Then krodham, moham, smriti vibhramam, buddhi nasham. Another four steps. Tandam, tadandam, tadadandadandam. That's how we have fallen. So, dhyayado vishayapumsan, sangasteshuba jayade, sangal sanjayade kaman, kamal krodhobi jayade, krodhal bhavadi, samoha, samohal smriti vibhrama, smriti bhramshal buddhi nasho, buddhi nashal pranashyati. So, Krishna is trying to tell us something about the mind here. How this happiness and distress, what we experience from objects, where does it go and hit us? It hit us in the mind, isn't it? The mind which was steady all the time, it becomes chanchalata. Chanchalata means it becomes shaky. It becomes vibrant. Mind starts moving immediately. As soon as this happens, the mind starts moving. That means sukham dukham, happiness and distress, and the cause of all the distress is this movement of the mind. Is the movement of the mind. Normally we think that the cause of distress is actually somebody else. Someone else is responsible for that. We are very convinced on that. Other people are the cause of my distress. But all the sages, because of their great compassion for us, they have given us the secret behind it. They told us nobody is responsible for your distress. When we fight and quarrel in this world, if we keep this in principle in mind, and they have a proof for that, to prove it to us, it is not. They will tell us why it is. Their point is that nobody is actually responsible for our distress. So they say like this, that what you should do, it is a sadhana they have given to us, how to know this, to get ourselves convinced about it, that others are not responsible for our distress. If you forget this, what will happen? We'll fight. Straight away we'll fight, we'll defend, we'll attack or defend others, and the others will attack us, and we will defend, all these things will happen. Krishna is saying there that actually what has happened is that suppose if you take 2 or 3 months, leave everyone, go away and stay alone somewhere for 2-3 months. If you stay alone in some house on your own, nobody is making any contact with you. Yeah, you stay like that without contacting in touch with anyone. Stay on your own for a couple of months if you stay. You will notice that sometimes distress is coming still. And sometimes, without your knowledge, some distress is coming and disturbing you. In these 2 months, you will experience that. Some days you will experience that. And some days you will also experience that you are feeling some happiness also. You're feeling some happiness also. Nobody is with you. You're on your own. Nothing is disturbing you. Nobody is coming in personally. They're not talking to you. They're not disturbing you anything. But still, on your own, while living like that, you will notice yourself that sometimes happiness is coming and sometimes distress is also coming. So Krishna says at that thing, the sage's opinion is on that, that if you have somebody with you at that point, in your while you are staying alone, if somebody is with you, you will think that he is the cause of your distress. That is how you take it. You will take it because he is there. He is your cause of distress. You will get involved with him then. You'll start firing him, or you'll get heavy with him, or whatever that happens. It will happen. So sage's point is this, that if you look at this example, then this restlessness, what is happening, is due to the distress what I already have inside. So the happiness and distress is already there inside. You have, sometimes it comes out in the form of distress, sometimes it happens in the form of, it comes out in the form of happiness. The sages are telling us, your results of your pious activities is inside in the form of sukham, happiness. Results of all your hellish activities or sinful activities is inside in the form of distress. When they come out, you feel happiness, when or distress accordingly. If the pious activities are comes out, you are feeling happiness. If the sinful activities comes out, you feel the distress. This is the sage's conclusion on this. They are saying to us, others are not responsible for your distress and happiness. For example, in household life also, when husband and wife has disagreement and there is arguments and fighting and all kinds of things happen, if we remember this, that it is only happening because that I have done something and it is stored already inside and my prarabdham is coming through that person to me. That's all it is. That I have done something to somebody before to upset and it must come back. What you have released, it has to come back. So that is coming back to me in some form. Either husband to wife or wife to husband, whichever way it happens, it doesn't matter. And similarly, in our interaction with the world also, that is the reason why Krishna is saying that in Ekadasha Skandam, he will mention this, that all these kim badram, kim abhadram va, what is good and what is bad in this world, what you have acquired in your life through different bodies, that is what is inside you. And that is what is causing your badram, abhadram, auspicious and inauspicious for you. But mistakenly, we impose these things on other people. This is a mistake, Krishna says, to do that. That others are responsible for my happiness and distress. So, this is an important principle. Sages are very kind to us and they're saying that you want to try this sadhana. It's a sadhana, they call it. Because why they call it a sadhana? It is a process by which you can understand the subtle things. Isn't it? Because even if it is spoken, sometimes you may not get convinced about it. So they're trying to tell us that you practice it. Say for a month or so, you stay away from home, alone you live somewhere, and then think about yourself and see what happens. Some days you are happy and some days you are unhappy, although no one is present there with you at that time. Irrespective of the fact that nobody is present with you, still you are feeling some days happy, some days unhappy. So the sage, because it is a very subtle thing, if you think about it, that happiness and distress, what is going to happen to you, is not dependent on others. It is purely your own pious activities and sinful activities. What is inside is coming out. Pious activities comes out in the form of happiness. The sinful activities comes out in the form of distress. And that need not be from this life. That could be from previous lifetimes. This makes more sense. This makes more sense. Because why I'm saying that is, if you look at people, how they interact in this world, you can observe one thing, that they are only taking into account what happens at that particular instant in their decision making. In their decision making. They are not going deeper into the subject, why this has happened. They only look at it, he has acted like this, so he is my enemy. Straight away I react to that. And that understanding and that thinking must go, Krishna says, in order that the happiness and distress not to disturb you in your mind. When happiness and distress happens, what happens? The mind moves. Mind starts at chanchalyam or chanchalata, it is called, isn't it? Krishna Arjuna said, chanchalam hi mana Krishna, pramadi bhalaval dradam. He says it's a very difficult thing to control the mind, and the mind is moving because happiness and distress has come. When the happiness and distress comes, mind will move. And once the mind moves, then disturbance all will start inside and then it will come out in some form. So this fundamental principle is covered in these two verses. That sukham dukham, happiness and distress, is nobody's creation. It's our own creation. No one else is responsible for that in this world. When that comes, tolerate it, Krishna says. That is why Titiksha is important. As much as possible. I mean, it's not that we are all such sages that automatically we'll give up straight away everything. But if this understanding is there, it would help us when we deal with such situations. When krodham hums, if these thoughts are behind us, that it will help us to understand that I should not lose that control myself. Krodhal bhavadi samoham. I'll fall further down if I keep on getting upset about it. The reason behind it is that I must have done something by which it is coming back to me in this form. Through someone, that distress is coming to me. I'll start thinking like that. But actually, the cause of distress is that inside, already my sinful reactions are there, pious activities are there, that comes out in the form of happiness and distress. So it's only to prove it to us, the sages has given this sadhana. That you stay alone for a month or so and see for yourself what is happening within you. This is inward looking. This is how you look inwards and start seeing yourself properly what I am made of. So you can see there that when that such a thing happens, what will you do? You will blame that person, isn't it? And then the problem starts from there. So when happiness and distress comes, the source of all this happiness and distress is the mind, isn't it? And how did the mind become like this? Because mind has accumulated loads of these vasanas inside. So how did all these vasanas develop inside? Because the nature of the mind is to stick to things. Is to stick to different things. That's the nature of the mind. That is why that when they say that stickiness should not happen. It should not stick to anything. If you allow the mind to stick to anything in this world, you have to suffer. How careful we have to be in spiritual life. Imagine that. How careful we have to be. If you allow your mind to stick to anything in this world, you have to suffer. This is the principle. And it is due to sticking to various things in this world that these vasanas are built up in the mind. And because those vasanas are built up in the mind, when we see another object, our attachment builds up. That is how it is coming to us. Normally, it is interesting to think, why should I get attracted to matter if I am soul? Isn't it? Matter is not an attraction. But the fact is that we are attracted to different material objects, isn't it? To matter. We are always attracted to matter. When we discuss these two verses, you also have to keep a little bit focused on this, because it is spoken everything on a very subtle platform, isn't it? Related to the mind and the our thoughts inside. And therefore, Prajnashuddhi and Vaisharadi Buddhi, Krishna has spoken about, is important here. The more we have Vaisharadi Buddhi, our thoughts will be much deeper. The more we have that freedom from attachment and Krishna consciousness in us, then we will analyze these verses very seriously. So, how did this happen to us? Why do I get attached? Because of the mind. Why did the mind get attached? Because of the vasanas. Why did the vasanas come? Because somewhere I have developed this sticking nature in me. Getting attraction to something, and that is immediately the stickiness has started. You know what I'm saying? The sticky nature. To get to stick to something. So the sticking is the problem with the mind. If you don't allow the mind to stick to anything, then vasanas won't be there inside. And if the vasanas are not there inside, your attachment and aversion will go from inside. Once the attachment and aversion go, you will not thinking in terms of anything as particularly attractive in this world, and you will not also won't reject anything because you have no aversion towards that. So all this is happening on a subtle level inside us. All these things are happening in a subtle level inside us. So Krishna is saying here that the sages, out of their causeless mercy to us, they have given us an explanation to all these things. From about any object, if you think about it a little bit continuously, stickiness will happen. Stickiness will happen. I'll give you an example. Now, I'm sitting here and we have 10 or 15 people here. So, if I particularly think about anyone here, particularly about one person, I think, what will happen? I'll leave the room, I'll think about the same person. I'm driving the car, I'll think about the same person. Immediately, it will stick. Immediately, it will stick inside. So, this is how stickiness happens. So, for example, say some important person came and sat there. Immediately your attention will go in that direction. Isn't it? Oh, he's so and so, somebody important. So you observe him first and then how, and thoughts have started already inside building up. Once the moment the thoughts have started, sticking has started there itself. So to such an extent, this sticking business has to be avoided within us. If you allow to stick to anything, that is why it says, when you deal with people also, you just have to know where to leave it. Otherwise, if you think and reflect and start thinking about that person too much, what will happen is it will become inside you. He will come inside. It's beautiful explanation on this in some shastram. It says like this, Vishwam darpana drishyamana nagari. The whole world is not outside. It is actually inside us. The inside world comes out, not the outside world goes in. Due to our relationship with the world outside, this whole world in the form of vasanas is staying inside us. It's all inside. The world is inside. Inner world, they call it. And when it gets an opportunity, it comes out. Actually, that's the way it happens. So the sages tells us that Patanjali in his Yoga Sutram. Yoga Sutram is a famous book. Patanjali Maharshi has written that. That he's saying here that mind is like a film. It's like a film, plate, like thing. And suppose we got angry. For some reason, doesn't matter what it is. Immediately, that is called a vritti. If you get anger, it is called a vritti. That vritti is called a thought wave. That will happen inside. A thought wave will develop inside. That is called vritti. So that is first thing is the vritti. Now when you happen second time it happens, the anger again, if it happens, that vritti will get stronger. And if you do that many times, the anger develops inside, that vritti will develop into samskaram. And once it has become samskaram, it has got life. So, in very subtle level, not only kopam, kopam means anger, not only anger, all other emotions the same thing. If any emotions, hate towards someone, envy towards someone, and love towards someone, all emotions are like that. They're called vigaram, isn't it? All emotions, once it happens, it's one vritti. It is a vritti. Second times it happens, it gets thickens. And a few times it happens, it becomes samskaram. Vritti has turned into samskaram. Once it has become samskaram, it has got life in it. It has got life of its own. Then you can't do anything with it. It has become your samskar. And then you cannot do anything with it. Because it has got its own life now. It will work on its own without you trying. If it is in the vritti stage, if you are cautious, then it may not develop into samskaram. Before it becomes a samskaram. So, Krishna will go through this a little bit more in depth about it later. So, what it says here that vritti becomes a samskaram. And in other words, it becomes a devil. That samskaram is the devil inside. Yeah. Once a brahmana, for example, brahmana wants to eat. Once it has become a devil, it is very difficult to control this. For example, a brahmana wants to eat meat. Yeah. Brahmana is not allowed to eat meat. He knows that. And he has grown up like that. Now many brahmanas eat meat. Why? Because it has become a samskaram in them. It became a samskaram in that. How did that happen? It didn't happen when they were young children. At home, they were not given meat. They were given with prasadam or vegetarian food. But when they left home, they went to work in the cities and they saw others. And then without going through all the subtle side of it, in the office there was discussions, party, all these kind of things. So meat was served and somebody who is sitting next to you tells you that why don't you eat? He says, no, I don't eat meat, I have my own reason. So he says, so what's going to happen if you eat once? Like this it develops, isn't it? So first he tastes it. He may not like it because it was not his nature. But still, in order to please others, he has forgotten all this, what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. He tastes it. Once he has, first time he ate it, he finds it is not very pleasant. Few times it happens like this, then what happens? It's become samskaram. Then to that brahmana, if you tell him anything, he won't be able to listen. Why? The devil is already there inside. As a samskara inside, it is already operating inside. So every sense gratification is like that. Every sense gratification is like that. So, people who are seeing him, this brahmana will say, oh, brahmana is eating meat. They will say, actually, brahmana doesn't know what's going on himself. Inside, this devil is telling him, get the meat and I must eat the meat. The devil from inside is telling him. He's not able to stop it. But people who are observing him will tell him, oh, the brahmana is eating meat. Look at him. He's a brahmana. He's got thread. He's initiated and he's eating meat. We will say like that about him. Isn't it? So, once the devil has developed inside this samskaram, then it is called a negative samskar. That is positive and negative things also. In samskar, there is this positive thing as well as the negative samskaram also. Then, sometimes what happens is, once this samskaram has developed, even if somebody has not caused any problem for us, we will still get angry. Some people, if you observe certain households, in the morning, say between 7 or 9, there will be fight going on. In so many houses, this happens. Those hours are meant for fighting. Without anything, everybody gets up and start fighting in the morning. Without any reason. Why? It has become a samskaram there already. They cannot stop it. Why? And every day it will start probably around 7 o'clock and finish. They go to office till they'll fight and they'll all go to office in the morning or the school or wherever it is. And then the fighting stops. Certain households particularly it happens. Very much so. Where there is no spiritual understanding and where there is no studying Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavadam in this way, it can happen very easily. Very easily it will happen. Many, many households, if you observe, you will see this happening. And you may think that, why come they are fighting every morning like this? You may try to find out a reason. There is no reason for that. The reason is this, that this has, samskaram has developed inside. So they have to fight in the morning. If they're not fought in the morning, they won't feel peaceful. Somehow they have to fight and then go to office. Then they feel happy. My bit for the day. This become a samskaram already in them. So when they wake up in the morning, the first time the wife brings the coffee or something, husband says, there's not enough sugar in that, what's wrong? Some issue they'll pick up. This may be a very silly thing. Very, very silly. But they'll pick up some issue to fight with. And the fight starts. And they don't look at each other and start showing all black faces to each other. And one will go to office unhappy, another person will go to school unhappy. Like this, all these things happens in the household life. So if you understand why it has happened like that, Krishna is saying that the negative samskaram what we have created inside is the cause behind this situation happening. And this constant quarreling in household life is a very negative samskaram, because it will increase day by day. It will not go in the positive way. That's why we have to be careful at home. Also, if you always remember these two verses, it will help a lot in all our lifetime. Throughout life it will help. But at least, if we not allow things to, that is why we say, we should not stick to anybody, even between husband and wife. That sticking should not happen. That it has happened, marriage has happened, life has happened, that's all fine. But if once the stickiness happens, then you are in trouble. It will develop into distress. Some way or the other it has to happen. So sticking nature, Krishna says, avoid it. Not to stick to anybody. Even between husband and wife, and with the parents and the children, all relationships be on your own. That is the advice. Krishna's advice is like that. Be on your own. Because if you are like that, you may not have to suffer later. Otherwise, you have to suffer. That's the point. It's not that we hate somebody. But because our mind works in a particular way, in a peculiar way, we have to know the secret of the way the mind gets disturbed. And in order to avoid that disturbance happening inside the mind, the way to safeguard this is not to stick to anything. That is the principle Krishna is trying to tell us. Because if you don't stick, the relationship will last longer. If you stick and that's why sometimes marriages, you see some people are in terrible love to each other. And the whole thing finishes in 1 month. The whole thing is over in 1 month. And you start thinking, is it the same people a month ago they were in extreme bliss, and month later they are in extreme distress. Why didn't this happen? Because that sticking was too much. If that sticking wasn't there, it would last probably another 20, 30 years. It may have lasted. And so this one principle is very, very important from the Vedic point of view. Vedas are telling us that in the modern world it is not taken seriously, isn't it? When we say a couple walking around, oh, how they love each other so much and how happy they are together, all these kind of conclusions people come to. And the intelligent person will think they are inviting trouble. This relationship is going to invite trouble for them. We'll think like that, the intelligent person. Whereas the materialist will think, oh, they are very happy together. And they will openly tell others also, we are so happy together. Who is happy together in this? You cannot be happy, Krishna is saying like this, because in the subtle level, all these things are happening. Dhyanam, Vishayam, Sangam, Kamam, Krodham, Sammoham, Smriti Vibhramam, Buddhinasham, fall down. This is all what will happen. So if this understanding of these verses is good, is strong inside, Krishna says this negative samskaram will not develop in a person. This is called negative samskara, or the unfavorable situation inside, what we are creating by getting attached to people, attached to different material objects and all that. The only difference is sometimes we get attached to people, sometimes we get attached to material objects. Both are equally, Krishna is saying, to avoid. Yeah. Now, in so many instances you can observe this. Yeah. Before television came to this world, we were living peacefully, isn't it? There are so many people still living without television in this world. But after television has come, we started finding something, some attachment to the television. It has built up inside, in the same way like we spoke about. Then if it happens like this, what happens later on is that he hears that television watching all the time is not a good thing. But then he says that without my knowledge I got up, without my knowledge I took the remote control, without my knowledge I pressed the button, and without my knowledge the television starts working. So how did that situation happen? Because Krishna says here that the once you have got something, then that substance itself knows how to control you. That substance itself knows how to control you properly. And then you are under its control. You are not independent anymore. Your freedom has gone. Knowing this principle only very well, that all these serial people, you know, people who make the serial programs in the television, like this, the Coronation Street and EastEnders and all kinds of people, they know this psyche very well. And that is why every day they bring you closer to the television. By half an hour, 45 minutes, they give you the program, and then they leave you in such a way that you'll come back next day again to hear the rest. So they have understood that psychology very well. And we have got our sannyasis also teaching them how to use Bhagavad Gita to improve your business, marketing techniques, and how to use the Bhagavad Gita to popularize your television programs and things like that. This is, our Swamis have taken this as a business now, teaching these businessmen how to do business using Bhagavad Gita. And this is happening all the time. So main thing is that then they will go and keep it in a suspense, and immediately it has become a vritti inside. If they have left you one serial, one program one day, and you leave the television, it has gone as a vritti inside. Imagine you have gone through this for 3 months or 6 months' time, it has become a samskaram inside. Coronation Street samskar has already developed inside without your knowledge. Or EastEnders samskaram has already gone in. There's nothing you can do about it then. Once you have got that samskaram, once it is inside, you will act. Because samskaram has got its own life. It has got its own life. So that is the reason why it is, we have to be so careful in while dealing with all these things. That on its own, on its own, television is not coming to me, telling me, come and look at me. He's not telling me. Television is not asking me to come and watch the television. But what it has done is that it has created this situation in me, that samskaram, that I cannot live without that. I cannot live without that. Actually, television is a dead matter, isn't it? Jadam it is. It is jadam. But I have given life to that through my samskaram. I have given life to that. So, sometimes people say, this is my New Year resolution, I will not watch telly anymore. And then after a few days you ask him, oh, what happened to your New Year resolution? He says, I don't know what happened. Whenever the time comes for that serial, I automatically get up without my knowledge. Without my knowledge, I'm going to the remote. And without my knowledge, I start watching that. I don't want to watch it, but it's happening like this, he says. Why is that? The samskaram is controlling him at that time. And once it has become a samskaram, it is very difficult to give it up. It's very difficult to give it up. So, in that verse, Krishna is saying, the only way you can come out of it is Nirahara Yogam. Remember that Nirahara Yogam we discussed before? Mishaya vinivartande nirahārasya dehina rasavarjam rasopyasya param drishtva nivartade. The verse, few verses before. So, Nirahara Yogam, aharam means generally food, but aharam also means all what you feed through all the senses, five senses. So Krishna is saying that vishaya vinivartande, if it has become a samskaram in a person, the only thing you can do is to create niraharam inside. Niraharam means that you are not feeding that anymore. you fasting that particular sense from that particular activity. If you do that, he says, rasavarjam rasopyasya. After some time, the taste for that particular sense gratification will go, param drishtva nivartate. And that will easier if there is some higher attachment to something else. Some higher attachment to something else. Or in other words, keeping your mind absorbed in something higher than the television. That's the only way to escape from the television is one example. Similarly, so many other things also. So, there's examples like, say, somebody who has got jaundice. If you leave him in a room with a first-class pickled mango, what will happen? He will eat that mango because his desire will be so strong inside, but it will make him more sick. Or someone who has got diabetes. If you allow him in a room, leave him in a room with a lot of first-class burfi and gulab jamun and everything there, what will happen? He will himself will be, it is, you are allowing him to, you're bringing him closer to his sense object, sense enjoyment, and he will suffer due to that. So the only thing what you can do if a situation happens like that, Krishna says, don't get any more closer to it. And develop in such a way some positive samskaram so that this negative samskaram doesn't wake up inside. So that is the first step in the samskaram. And breaking away from once it has become a samskar, breaking away from that is very, very difficult. Because already, due to our ignorance, we have engaged in activities. The result of that, automatically it has got its own life and it is staying within us. And that's what it is called a samskar. You can see also this, how this affects a group of people altogether. For example, in India, drinking coffee, tea was not normal before. It's a new thing. Now you go to any house in India, they'll offer you coffee or tea. It's like that now. But say about 200 years, 300 years ago, there was no coffee, tea. Coffee, tea was not a system which was ever drunk. Coffee and tea were never drunk at home. It was not at all a practice to drink coffee and tea. But what happens? It was introduced into the society. People started taking to it and everyone got victimized. And now it has become absolutely essential thing for most of the people. Without coffee and tea, it has become practically impossible now to go anywhere these days in India. And if you say you are not drinking coffee or tea, they question you, why not? That coffee is not doing anything harm. Tea is not doing anything harm to you. What's the harm? They'll question. It's like that. So, in other words, once it has become a samskaram, then even we lose our independence not to have it, not to take it. We lose that independence. This is only a physical example. Similarly, the mind also. The body, its very subtle form is the mind. This body's subtle form is the mind. Just like body, due to practice, it becomes used to it. It gets used to it. Similarly, the mind also, if it gets used to something, it will become a habit in the mind. If you keep on getting angry at a particular time, every day you will get angry at that same time. And what happens is that all our sadhana, for example, chanting the holy name, sandhyavandanam and things like that, if you have practiced it daily, when that time comes, you can see you want to chant the holy name. You want to get up in the morning. You want to bathe. You want to chant the holy name. All this become a habit, a samskaram in a person. It is all nothing but a samskaram. That samskaram is something what you can develop also. That getting up in the morning, if you make it a samskar, it will become. You won't have any problem getting up in the morning. Similarly, chanting the holy name in the morning or during the day, whenever you have time, that you can chant the holy name if that becomes a samskaram in a person. Exactly like coffee drinking and tea drinking has become a samskar, this also can become a samskar. So, Krishna is saying that all the sadvasana and durvasana, that means good propensities and bad propensities, also can be brought under control and the mind can become peaceful. So, even if you have got this habit of chanting holy name, or if it has become a samskaram in a person, even if you are going in the train or flying, at that time, these thoughts will come. Oh, I must chant now. I must chant my rounds. These thoughts will come inside. And it will start operating. Then, similarly, if you get angry also, the same thing can happen. When that time comes, oh, I should shout at somebody. Otherwise, I won't feel peaceful inside. So, what does it mean actually? This thing in Shastram is called Ritham. Ritham. In Sanskrit word is Ritham. And it is from that the English word Ritham has come. You know the Ritham, the word. R-H-Y-T-H-M, isn't it? Ritham. Ritham means there's another word called Thalam. Thalam means it's a kind of a sequential way it happens. There's a sequential way it happens, right? So in Sanskrit the word is called Ritham. And the same word in English, rhythm. There's no difference at all. Rhythm has come as rhythm. In English, it's called rhythm. So, this rhythm is what happens to the mind. Mind develops this rhythm inside. And so, once it has happened like that, Patanjali says that samskaram has completely holding them very strongly. And now, one thing important here, Krishna is saying, so many samskaram is already developed, already it's developed in us. It's already there. Yeah. Krishna says, leave that behind. Leave that behind. We'll talk about it later, Krishna says. What Krishna wants to discuss now, how to avoid developing new samskaram in us. What is already developed, Krishna says, leave that behind for the moment. That's the way Krishna wants to deal with that. Krishna says, keep that what samskaram already you have created, leave that behind for the moment. But how to avoid no new samskar develop inside? That's the secret what Krishna wants to talk to us. Because if you keep on practicing the old samskaram and if you keep on developing new samskaram, this all comes as vasanas inside. That means we have to accept new body. We have to go through this vasana chayam later. All these things must happen. So Krishna is saying, that at least try not new samskar not to build up inside. Because to win over the existing samskaram, we have to put a lot of effort to win over. The existing samskaram, to win over that, you have to put a lot of effort. But how to avoid no new samskar building up? That's what Krishna says about that. So into that situation, Krishna is taking our attention first time. So, the point is this, how can we avoid a new samskar not to build up inside? That's the question, isn't it? So, how did this happen? Krishna says there, that constantly if you think about a particular object, when he says about a particular object, includes individuals, persons also. A person or an object, constantly, if you think about that, about the good side of the object or about the bad side of the object, and what will happen is immediately it will go inside, and not only, and if it keeps on coming up, the thoughts are centered around that, it will become very strongly make a mark inside. Make a mark inside. It will strongly make a mark inside, whether it is a person or whether it's an object. So that is the first point Krishna wants us to take note of. Anything in this world, if you think a few times about it, it will immediately become a mark inside. That's that first line, Dhyayado Vishayapumsam. Dhyayado Vishayapumsam means this, that you are thinking, and what do you think about an object? Either you will think about the good side or you will think about the bad side. Neutral level, you can't think about anything, isn't it? Suppose you are thinking about one person. You will think about him in a positive way or in a negative way. That's the only way you can think about one person. You don't think in any other way about anybody, do you? I mean, that's the natural mind, how it operates in this world. Suppose I am thinking about someone whom I don't like, I will only see his negative side. Only the negative side I'll think, and that becomes a samskaram inside. Or if I see the positive side, Krishna says that is also wrong. You may wonder why it is. Sometimes people say like this, oh, you should see the good in everyone. Krishna says no. don't see the good also in anyone. Because what will happen is, if you start seeing good in everyone, after a while, you may think you don't have the goodness in you, that good qualities in you, and you'll become envious of that person. This also happens. This is all the way the mind operates in this world. That's why in the Ekadasham, when Krishna mentions that, he said there earlier, we talked about this also, that the parasvabhava karmani na prashamsadi na nindadi. Neither glorify anyone for his good qualities nor for his bad qualities, whatever you consider. Na nindadi. What will happen? Vishwamegalmagam pashyan. There is only one thing in this world, what is real, that is the soul. Prakriti purushayanaja. Prakriti and purusha, they are separate. Prakriti is the dead matter, purusha is the soul present in everyone, and purusha is the only reality. And sa ashubhrashyade ya asubhrashyade swarthal asatyam abhiniveshada. If somebody engages in that, in this analysis of this good and bad in anything, then sa ashubhrashyade, he will fall. He has to fall. So this is an important instruction from Krishna, this instruction. Because generally we are told, in the temple also, this is what I have heard, they say that, oh, you should only see the good thing in a devotee. Yeah? If you see the good thing in a devotee, what will happen? You will see bad things in another devotee. Doesn't naturally happen, because good and bad is both wrong. Actually, it doesn't exist. They are both wrong thing as far as Krishna is concerned. If you see the good things, and this develops, this, I don't know where this samskaram is coming from, but because of this, what happens is, they say, oh, you have to recognize that devotee's service, you have to glorify him, and for which we get together and start glorifying him. Isn't it? We do all these things. Even in the temples we do. What to talk about the world outside. Outside world, this is the only thing that happens. If you have made a lot of money or you bought a lot of business for a company, company will glorify you like anything. And if you have become not brought any business, you are not successful in your work, they will equally denounce you. Also, they will reject you. This is part of the material world. But the same disease has even come to the temples also. Where when we think that we have to glorify someone or we have to condemn someone for this. So both Krishna is saying avoid it. The reason being this, that any thought about another person is doing, even if you are living in a spiritual environment like in the temple, even there Krishna says you have to be cautious about this. Not to be driven by these thoughts. That because what will happen, Krishna's point is very valid on this. He says if you start glorifying someone, it will only increase after. You think you are doing the right thing, isn't it? You think you are doing the right thing by glorifying someone who has done well in some spiritual activity, whatever he was performed in preaching or whatever it is. You start telling him, oh, you are doing great, you are doing a great service to Prabhupada, you are doing Prabhupada, the service to Krishna and all that. You start glorifying him. You start glorifying that, others also start glorifying. They are thinking that, oh, if I don't glorify, what will they think about me? Oh, he's an envious snake, so I start joining the same group. And the whole group becomes doing. And the whole group does, that man falls. This is what happens all the time. If everybody minds their business and not get involved in this business of glorification, there won't be any fall down. That person will think, I'm an ordinary person like anybody else. When we start adding this fuel to the fire, already the fire, his false ego, on his own ego, is working very strongly inside. Now you are adding more fuel to the fire by giving all these glorifications. Those who are doing this, they have not studied, understood the subtle side of the mind, how it operates. And this is a big mistake. And it is happening today in all the temples, and it has become a samskaram in the temple. This is not good. If you go to first class ashrams, and if you see the persons who are living there, there will be brahmacharis, there will be sannyasis. Nobody each other glorify all the time that you are doing this, you are doing that. They all mind their business. They know, because why, inside the deeper understanding is there that this is not a good thing to do. That if they start doing, they become suspicious. Why is he trying to do this to me? What, I don't have it. That a small success in material life immediately makes everything so fantastic to them, and they start, glorification starts, and this results in problem. So therefore, we have to be careful. So Krishna's point is this here, dhyayato vishaya pumsam. So if you develop this meditation like this, somebody has got some great qualities. You can witness this in the temple all the time. This happens. Some devotee who has distributed loads of books, immediately everyone starts saying, how did you do that? What's the secret behind it? And he starts thinking, oh, I've done got something special which others don't have it. And all sorts of thoughts goes behind it. And then you get recognition from everyone saying that you've done so fantastic. And then he starts thinking, now I'm a very special devotee. Krishna has got some special mercy for me. All sorts of mind can take you in a different direction. And other devotees start thinking that, oh, I did not do so well. So he must be an amazing devotee. He must have highly transcendently advanced person. That's why all these things are happening to him. Nothing is happening to me. So by your action, you are putting somebody into distress. And he experiences that. So same thing with the material life also, this can happen in the same way. These are all material qualities, all this glorifying and insulting, all these are material qualities. They have nothing to do with spiritual life. So Krishna is saying there, if you don't do that, you can escape from all that. Now, interesting thing, Bhagavatam is very good in these things, explaining these things. Shishupala and Dandavaktra, you remember these two personalities, they had a great problem with Krishna, isn't it? Both of them hated Krishna down to the earth. They so hated Krishna. Krishna understood it is not possible to get these two to chant Hare Krishna. They will not chant. Not only that, they will abuse him. They will abuse Krishna in a very, very strong way. So, knowing this very well, Krishna took this position that at least they have an attraction for me. But only thing is, it is in the negative way. The attraction is in the negative way. So, what Krishna has done was, he deliberately wanted to whip it up, this hate inside, in those two. So, he went and stood in front of them, so they will hate him more. That's what he did. This is what Narada Maharshi says this. This is called Samrambha Yogam. In Bhagavatam, this is one method by which you can get liberated. That you hate Krishna to such an extent that Krishna knows that you hate him so much. You make him conscious of this. You make Krishna aware that you hate him so much. So eventually, if the hate is so strong, Krishna will stand in front of you and make you to hate him more. To hate him more. If you hate like that, what will happen? That was the only way that Krishna could make Shishupala and Dandavaktra to think about him more. The same principle, dhyanam, meditation. So dhyanam will happen inside, one way or the other. How Shishupala hated in the Bhagavatam, if you read, it is very good, very nice to read that, the way Shishupala hated Krishna. Krishna, he won't even call Krishna even by name. That fellow, that's the way Krishna was addressed. I don't want to hear about him. He says to Sahadeva, Shishupala says to Sahadeva, I don't want to hear about him. And so many offensive words he spoke about Krishna in such a way. And every time, deliberately, Krishna will go and stand in front of them and he will go inquiring after Shishupala, where is he? When Shishupala was there in the Rajasuyam sacrifice, a special permission he took from Yudhishthira Maharaj and Sahadev that he will come. He was not willing to go, first of all, when he heard that Krishna is coming for the Rajasuyam. Shishupala won't go. Shishupala is only, you have to remember, his cousin, Krishna's cousin, isn't it? So he won't go for the Rajasuyam. And when he came to know that Krishna is coming, he said, I'm not coming. Then Sahadev insisted that you must come and we'll make every arrangement so you don't have to see Krishna. And the arrangement was made that specially a separate house was offered to him to live there. Only thing, he has to be present in the sacrifice, which is a necessity to make sure that the sacrifice goes well. And Sahadev made it a point that all the prasadam, everything will be delivered into the house, so that he doesn't have to see Krishna at the sacrifice. As soon as Krishna came in, first thing what he did, oh, my cousin Sahadeva hasn't come, he says. He's inquiring about Sahadeva more than anyone else. And immediate thing what he did was, he found out where Sahadeva is staying and he started walking in front of his house, back and forth, in front of Shishubala's house. Shishubala closes all the windows, thinking that so he doesn't have to see him. But he couldn't control himself at the end. Shishubala came out and asked Sahadev, why is he walking in front of my house all the time? He asked all these questions to Krishna. So Krishna understood, the only way you can make Shishupal to meditate about Krishna is to create this hate in his mind and make it as strong as possible. As strong as possible. Because that is dhyanam, isn't it? Meditation. So that it becomes strong inside. That strong feeling inside will build up. So, as much as more and more he started hating Krishna, that he started meditating on Krishna more. Sangasteshupa jayate. See, that verse applies there also. To Shishupala's activity also you can apply the same verse. Dhyayado vishaya pumsal sangasteshupa jayate. Because he meditated upon Krishna so much, sangam has created. Sticking has developed with Krishna. He got stuck with Krishna. In the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Saptama Skandam, if you look there is a verse there which mentions this, that yadha vairanu bandena martyastan tanmayadam yad tadna tadha bhakti yogena itime nischadamati. This is the verse. Yadha vairanu bandena martyastan tanmayadam yad na tadha bhakti yogena itime nischadamati. What? This is a verse from Srinarada Maharshi saying to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Srinarada Maharshi is saying to Yudhishthira, Yudhishthira, it is like this, that if you have created an enmity towards Krishna, Vairanubandhena means through inimical way, if you have created a relationship with Krishna, the way it results is much more powerful than through the process of bhakti. Na tathada bhakti yogena. Through bhakti yogam it won't happen in such a way as it will happen through the enmity. Enmical way of approaching Krishna is more powerful than the bhakti yogam process through love. This is the conclusion, he says. And this is called samrambha yogam. Samrambha yogam is this one. That through hate that you approach Krishna. Like Shishupala and Dandavaktra has done. So, yadha vairanu bandena martyas tanmayadam yad. Na tatha bhakti yogena idime nischadamadi. That is a conclusion. Krishna says like that. So somehow or the other, if the sangam, that stickiness, happens to Krishna, somehow or the other, you have to stick to Krishna. If it happens, Krishna says it can develop in a positive way. The only problem with this samrambha yogam is, there, when the hate gets stronger, eventually Krishna has to kill us. Only then we'll get liberated. Krishna has to kill us. Only then we will get liberated. In the case of Jarasandha, this was the sad thing. Krishna didn't kill him. He didn't hate Krishna to that enough. That's what the Bhagavatam is saying. He felt cheated when Krishna came there with Bhima, Arjuna and Nakula and Sahadeva. They went to fight the club, isn't it? So because Jarasandha didn't hate him enough, Krishna didn't kill him, rather he asked Bhima to kill him. And that was his misfortune. Sudeva Goswami says it was his misfortune. Why? Jarasandha could not go back to the, could not get liberated, because Krishna didn't kill him. And so therefore, this hating business is such that it has to be so strong that Krishna, if he creates this sangam, dhyanam inside of hating Krishna first, and that dhyanam, if it develops very strongly inside, it will develop into sangam, attachment or hate, whichever way. That is called sangam. That's sticking nature. Either in the form of hate or in the form of love. Then what will develop that? From sangam, sangal sanjayade kamam, desire for Krishna will come and it will turn into krotham, anger, and Krishna will kill us at that point and we'll get liberated. So the point is here that he tried to create this, that this feeling somehow getting connected with Krishna, sticking to Krishna. Similarly, what we were talking about was this TV advertisements and all that. That how it affects us, that also we have to understand. Whenever you see advertisements in the television, that the purpose behind it is that to create that desire inside us, isn't it? As soon as you saw an advertisement, immediately you start thinking, is it worthwhile having that particular product or whether that will make our life comfortable? This way, they inject one thought inside. But many times when you see the same advertisement or big billboards, immediately dhyanam has all. They only want you to start the dhyanam first. They don't want to buy the product straight away. First, they want you to start the meditation inside. That about that product, what they are trying to market. So they put this advertisement through television and billboards and all that. And when you see it, first time when you see it, you will just notice it and then you leave it. Second time, third time is constantly bombarding you. Then you give a thought to it, isn't it? Once they get you the thought going inside, then they have got their message through. It's already started working inside. So dhyanam will develop inside. So the television advertisements are like that. So this is mentioned like this, that the Bhagavad Gita, if people, these two verses, as actually because it is the psychology behind our human mind, the many people know these things. All these big advertising firms and all, they know this principle very well. How to capture your attention and to get your thought inside. All they have to do is to get this thought inside so that it will grow and meditation will start inside. So that's what they are looking for. And our people also are, our people go to advertising companies and teach them Bhagavad Gita for this purpose. It's okay, Bhagavad Gita is telling us this. If you do like this, your business will get better. You can do much better in business by following Bhagavad Gita. So this way, this is what is known as the opposite way of using Bhagavad Gita. The wrong way of using Bhagavad Gita. What we are supposed to do, we are supposed to take this world and burn it in Krishna. That is what we are meant to do. What I'm saying is that the material consciousness, what we have created, we are supposed to take it and burn it, not to allow that to affect our spiritual life. In such a way, we have to do things. That means to become Krishna conscious, to develop Krishna consciousness, what is coming on the way is this material consciousness. So material consciousness, we have to burn it and become Krishna conscious. Instead, what is happening now, we are bringing Krishna and burning it in the material life. In our material life. That is what is happening. So we are bringing Krishna and dipping Krishna into our material life. This is what most of us are doing there. So instead of, this is the reason, instead of becoming peaceful in spiritual life, we are getting more disturbed. Have you noticed that? If you look into many places, many spiritual organizations today, in this world, so many missions and organizations, spiritual organizations. You go there and you look at the people there, they are in more stress than you. You can see this. They are more stressed out than us. Why is that? Because they are doing this big mistake. They are taking Krishna, who is transcendental to all these things, bringing to material life and bringing Krishna into material life and trying to burn it there. In other words, they are trying to not understanding that in order to become Krishna conscious, you have to burn your material life first. Not bring Krishna and burn into material life. Rather, take material life and burn it in Krishna. It's the other way it should be. But that's why as soon as you start vyavaharam with this world in that way, normally in the process, particularly in preaching, this can happen a lot. Then in order to do the preaching, you start doing so many different kinds of adjustments in life. And then you have to make sure that you get through this. So you may take some shortcuts and easy processes. And in that way, you are thinking that you are trying to become spiritualized. But spirituality don't happen that way. Remember this one thing, that material life has its own place. Krishna consciousness has its own place. If you bring Krishna from spiritual consciousness, bring it into material life and start using it there, the spirituality will die there. It will become material. On the other hand, what we are meant to do is to take this material life and burn it in Krishna consciousness so that Krishna stays and not the material life. So that is the important message. What will happen is, if you do that, the peace won't be there. That means if you take Krishna to material life and start burning Krishna there in material life, instead of having any peace inside, it will make the mind more and more sharp, and the ego will become more and more cunning and clever. This is the result of that. If you start commercializing Krishna consciousness, if you start commercializing Krishna consciousness, what will happen is, the mind will become more and more sharp, which is not a good thing. You see, try to understand this. Generally we say, intelligence should be sharp intelligence, isn't it? We talk about the mind also, it is very sharp, we say. If we do this, bringing Krishna and start commercializing Krishna, what will happen is, eventually the mind will become very sharp because of doing all this business about Krishna. And the ego will become more and more cunning and clever. The ego inside. Because you are doing the wrong thing. Instead of taking the material consciousness and burning it in spiritual power, you are bringing the spiritual power and burning it in material life. Do you see the difference what I'm talking about, don't you? That how careful we have to be in spiritual life not to fall. These things, we make this mistake, and because of this, so many people have fallen down from whatever little spiritual life they had. Because of this reason. Krishna is not something that you can bring down to our level and burn it in the material way, manage it. Material management, material consciousness, all these management consultants business, all this is all that burning going on inside. Bringing Krishna and burning through the management consultants. What can management consult? Who are these management consultants? What do they know about Krishna consciousness? We are hiring them to run temples. And we are hiring them to advise us how to raise the funds. Can you imagine our mentality? What is it actually? This mentality is coming from this. Bringing Krishna, burning in the material life. Instead of taking the material life and burning it in Krishna, we have, and what will happen? We'll become more and more sharp in our mind and intelligence, because once you start doing business with Krishna products and business is building up, we'll become more sharp in our intelligence. And our ego inside, when the success is coming, will become very clever and very cunning also. And once that happens, Krishna is saying like that, we may be thinking we are doing the right thing. This is the sad side. The sad story behind it is that we are thinking we are doing the right thing. And the greatest negativity that is happening now is this thing. This is the great negativity that is happening in all spiritual organizations. In all spiritual organizations, this is the greatest negativity that is happening. All these spiritual organizations have developed this mentality, that in order to survive for us, we need customers. Visitors should come to our temple or our institution. So in order for them to come, we'll make it more friendly for them, user-friendly, by starting various courses and programs in such a way that they will come to us. You can't do that. In spiritual life, it doesn't work like that. One who wants spiritual life, he'll come to you if he wants it. Genuinely wants it. But if you use the advertisement publicity for that purpose and do it, it is just like tying the horse at the back of the chariot. Instead of tying in the front, Krishna should be in the front. The chariot should be, the material sense gratification should be behind. But if you keep the material sense gratification in the front and tie Krishna at the back of it, what will happen to the chariot? It will topple. So same thing, that the immaterial consciousness, material life has its place. We have to leave it at that. At some point, we have to know this is it. That should not allow to get involved in our spiritual life. Spiritual life is transcendental. It's a knowledge and its realizations. And that has its own importance. That should not be mixed with, our material life. If you mix it, it will not have any success. So, this one important point is coming through these two verses. Dhyayado vishayapumsam sangasteshubha jayade sangal sanjayade kamam kamal krodhobi jayade krodhal bhavadi samoha samohal smriti vibhrama smriti bhramshal buddhinasham buddhinashal pranashyati. So this strength in us, is very powerful. What we have in us, we have the right to decide which way we want to do it. And it is the same mentality that is developing in the form of scientific discoveries and all that. We all have got certain power in us. And that power, if we utilize in the right way, then our mind won't go in the negative direction. But when it goes in the negative direction, it can go in all kinds of possibilities are there. Nuclear power. And Krishna is also saying there, you can use that power to create anything, including atom bombs, nuclear bombs, everything, if you have the same concentration inside. The scientists have gone in that direction because they didn't have this understanding, to tell you the truth, that none of these scientists who have discovered all these great inventions, they didn't know that what they were doing. Immediately they thought for the immediate benefit and they did something without deeply understanding on the reactions of what they have created. Imagine the person who has found out that bomb, now it has become a curse on us, isn't it? Everyone is frightened of it. Why is that happened? It is this power of dhyanam. Dhyanam means meditation. Is in everyone. Now that power, if you can use it in one way or the other, you can either use it for realizing the self or you can use it for your material life. What the scientists have done is that dhyanam, because they have got such strong power of dhyanam, meditation inside, they used that in the wrong way, and the result of that we got the nuclear bomb. So Krishna's point is that this dhyanam means what? Concentration, isn't it? Dhyanam means concentration. That you have first strong dhyanam means strong concentration on something. So the scientists who are going after scientific discoveries and getting recognition in this world, because they have not studied Bhagavad Gita and what Krishna has spoken about it, they are thinking that they are doing something good to this world. That's this modern science is all about. Ultimately, most of you may know this thing, that the person who invented the bomb, later on he regretted about it. But it was too late by then, isn't it? It took a long time for him to understand that what he did was the wrong thing. If it was finished with Hiroshima and Nagasaki, it would have been good, but it won't. It has become now such a problem now that we can see that his power of concentration was so good when he has developed that bomb. Now, for generation after generation, people have to suffer through that. Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, they also performed penances. You remember? Can you imagine? Hiranyakashipu is going to perform penances in the forest. And thousands of years he performed penances. Why? Same effect, dhyanam, meditation. Through meditation, you can become very powerful. Egagrada, the serious power of concentration. And Hiranyakashipu's tapas, what he has performed, is discussed in the Bhagavadam. Brahma says to Hiranyakashipu, nobody else has done penances like this in the past. Nobody will do it in the future like this. So powerful was Hiranyakashipu's penances. But what is the use? For the wrong purpose. That is where things went wrong. Purpose was wrong for which he was performing the penances. Same thing with Hiranyaksha also. Hiranyaksha executed penances. Hiranyakashipu also executed penances. Both of them executed penances. And the result was they had great concentration power, great power inside to do wonders, isn't it? When Hiranyakashipu came out from after the penances, when Brahma went and sprinkled the water from the Kamandalu on Hiranyakashipu's head, Hiranyakashipu's body, which was only the bones left, and most of the part of the body were eaten by the ants, and completely was covered by the earth that builds up around the body. That if you go into the forest, you will see some places the earth will build up a mound like this. So when Brahma came, he could not see where Hiranyakashipu was. He couldn't even see him because he was so focused on his concentration in the tapasya that nobody, he couldn't even know that Brahma had come, was standing in front of him. And Brahma was thinking, where is Hiranyakashipu? Hiranyakashipu could not be seen. All he could see was that the whole body was covered with the earth that was grown around him, the trees and everything. That was the power of his penances. And then he took the water and sprinkled on that, thinking that here there is Hiranyakashipu inside, and sprinkled there. And then from here he woke up. Jagur Mahendra Asanamo Janastidam. Bhagavadam says that when he came out, a beautiful, young, powerful personality, he comes out from that. When he sprinkled this water on Hiranyakashipu, on Hiranyakashipu. So, like this, what we have to understand is Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha also performed penances. So you can use this power, what we have, Krishna has given us, this meditation power, for any purpose, whichever way we want to use it. There's only a very slight difference in the difference of a silver thread between using it for the wrong purpose and using it for the right purpose. So, Dhyayado Vishayam Pumsan Sangasteshu Bajayate. The way the advertisement people twist all these things to suit their needs is very interesting. Sometimes you will see, in the olden days, when the house, there is some water spills on the floor or some liquid falls on the floor, what they used to do, they'll bring some old cloth and wipe it, isn't it? And then suddenly you'll see an advertisement in the television saying, two ladies talking to each other, one lady asking the other, haven't you got this cloth for wiping the floor? So the other lady is saying, no, I haven't got it. Oh, I've got it. And it looks so good, so nice. Cost 500 rupees or 1,000 rupees, whatever it is. So tells the other one, you should also get it one. And few times it happens, you go and buy this one, this cloth. Originally, you could have wiped it, but some dirty cloth would have done the job. But now you need a special cloth for wiping it. And then after some time, you start thinking, without that cloth, I can't do the wiping. Old clothes cannot be used for that. So it has come and stuck inside. That understanding has come and stuck inside. This is how advertisements catches. I see some very, very strange advertisements in the magazines and television nowadays. You know, in India, especially talking about India, this one. All the holy places, people out of distress in life and misery in life, they want to go to holy places and they want to have a flat there. In the holy place. They are not ready for it yet. They just want to have a flat there so that when they go there, they can stay there. So what these people do, you should notice these construction companies, how they advertise in the television. They will project you first the holy place. They'll tell you, oh, such a nice holy place. You also feel, oh, it's a nice holy place to go to. Then they tell you when you go there, it's very difficult to find a place to stay. So we are building these flats for you. Yeah, and if it is a flat, at least you can understand it. 5-bedroom, fully detached house with facilities for 2 or 3 car parking facility, chowkidar outside to look after your property, all alarms fitted, everything like a modern householder facility, fully built for you there. And they will inject this into your head so much. And if by chance, if you had a lot of money also in the hand, the next thing we will do is you'll buy that property. And inside, they have put this idea into your mind that, you're going to a holy place to stay. And immediately the thinking behind it is that, and then how they advertise it is, I've seen this, the whole family is coming out from the house in the morning about 8-9 o'clock. We didn't make for the Mangalarati yesterday because we were slept off in the house, but tomorrow we must make it. How nice it is to be here in spiritual life. And we have got all these facilities. So it is not impossible for us to come here without these facilities. They come to that understanding. So in a subtle level, they are constantly telling us that you need all these things for spiritual life. And it is injected into your head very strongly. So all the holy places, if you look in India, you will see this advertisement. Haridwar, Vrindavan, Dwaraka, and Mayapur, Kanchipuram, everywhere, Guruvayur, all these places, they are advertising these new apartments and houses. Those holy places were there for thousands of years. People were going there, taking the benefit and going away. But now, they are telling you that if you are physically present there, if you have an apartment, in fact, there, you can get back quickly before everybody else to the spiritual world. This impression they create in your head through advertisement. How powerful advertisement is, you can see. And our people also get victimized by that. They fall into this trap that without that I cannot practice my spiritual life. Come to that understanding. So it's just to show that the power of the advertisement. So so all these things, Krishna says, yadha vairanubandena martyasthanmayadamiya tada bhakti yoga idime nischidamadi. So Krishna says sangam will happen. Sangam or attachment will happen. And attachment will develop into possessiveness. Once attachment is built up, possessiveness will come into action. Then it will think that only if you get it, that you will be happy inside. That is this same principle, what we have spoken so far, you can apply that in satsangam also. You can apply that in satsangam also. In satsangam, what is happening is, again and again you are hearing the same thing, isn't it? Again, therefore, your attachment to that soul will also develop strongly. Your inquiry will begin inside. So it is the same dhyanam principle. What advertisement companies are doing, what they are doing also is in connection with the sangam also. Attachment is the same principle. In satsangam, if your attachment develops and increases strongly, that mumukshatva means to escape from material existence. Liberation will come very strongly inside after a while. So that is the beauty of satsangam. Satsangam is also doing exactly the same thing. Exactly the way we develop attachment to objects and to material life through advertisement and other things. If somehow or the other in satsangam, if these thoughts builds up inside, that thoughts get stronger, then you have escaped from material life. Then you escape from material life. Then what will happen is, these thoughts what has gone in, it becomes stronger and stronger day by day. The result of that will be that enjoyment, sense enjoyment will come down. That how sense enjoyment has developed and taken some form inside, the satsangam will develop a particular form inside. It also takes a form inside. Satsangam takes a form in a different way. What is that? When satsangam takes its form, your desire for liberation will get stronger inside. Freedom from material life will get stronger. And positive thoughts will develop inside, positive way. Krishna says here, material topics, you should not condemn them. An important point. You should not glorify them, you should not condemn them. If you do any of them thing, it will get inside. In either way, it will get inside. Whether you glorify them or you condemn them, material things, you should not look at them. That's the main thing. But that is as far as material life is concerned. Krishna is concerned, if you glorify them or condemn them, both are good. This is the difference. If you glorify or condemn material life, material individuals or material objects, both are dangerous. Don't do that, Krishna says. Because that creates vritti inside. If you condemn Krishna or if you glorify Krishna, both are equally good. Ultimately, it will get you back to the what you want, the liberation from material life. But the problem with condemning Krishna is that unless you condemn so strongly and you create enough hate inside, that Krishna won't come in front of us to kill us. And in bhakti, you have peace, you have renunciation, and you also have the possibility of going back to spiritual world, which is easier in hate, but at the same time, you have to go through a lot of distress in this world. When you start hating somebody, that means distress, isn't it? The distress will build up. So this point, if you can remember, material life, neither condemnation nor glorification. Krishna, you can glorify or condemn, no harm. Either way, it will do good. But bhakti process is glorification, not condemnation. That's all the difference is. That is a very fundamental principle. For a devotee or a jnani who is trying to advance on the spiritual path, for him, material life is concerned, no glorification, no condemnation. Everything same. Krishna is concerned, always glorification or condemnation, but condemnation is called a Samrambha Yogam. Samrambha Yogam will cause a lot of distress you have to go through while in this world. That is the problem with that. Krishna has nothing against us, any one of us. Even if you hate Krishna, Krishna is happy with us that you're hating him. Because for Krishna is so big, what is one tiny individual like us? What does it matter to him? But if you hate him, Krishna says, at least he's thinking about me. That is how positive Krishna is, that we are thinking about him. But the difficulty is that, there is Samrambha Yogam, the problem with that is that you will have to go through a lot of distress in this life. Because only once you start hating somebody like that, you'll be very, very revengeful and mind gets very disturbed inside. And eventually Krishna has to come and kill you before you get liberated. Whereas bhakti process is beautiful, there is peacefulness inside, and there is vairagyam, renunciation inside, and there is love there for Krishna. So there glorification is allowed. So except Krishna, we shouldn't glorify anything in this world. Nothing should be glorified in this world. And Krishna says, nothing should be condemned either. If you do any of these things, vritti will build up inside. And once a vritti builds up, it will develop into samskaram later. And samskara means vasanas will be there, and then it will become more difficult to get rid of that. So Krishna's solution to the problem is this, that if you don't want to develop anything, any more new vasanas in the future, the important thing to do is neither glorify anything nor condemn inside, nor condemn it outwardly or internally. Outwardly or internally. You should not go give any importance to anything. Any of the... It may sound a little bit rude, because sometimes you are stuck in certain situations, as I mentioned before, that everybody is glorifying someone and you happen to get involved in that somehow. And if you don't do it, they will look at you, why you are not doing it. And then it becomes a problem. But from many advanced devotees, they know how to deal with such situations. They don't get involved in that, unnecessarily glorifying and condemning people. Krishna saying, this is the principle of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Yadha vairanubandhena martyastan maidamiya natatha bhakti yogaina idime nishchidamadi. So, the good thing was, Narada says to Krishna that in three births they finish the business. Who? Hiranyakashipu. So, Samrambha Yogam, this hating business is quickly it works than the bhakti process. That also there. We have to remember that. It works much faster. So they finish in three lifetimes and they went back. But bhakti, I don't know how many lifetimes it may take for us. We'll discuss it tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. I think we are okay tomorrow, isn't it? We'll continue, I suppose. What do you think? I mean, if you find